Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Pastor Prophetess World Point Sienna Sprewell, and I am so elated to be with you here today, this evening. I pray that everything has been going well with you and your loved ones, and that you are seeing the manifestations and the glory of God. I've been talking about over the last few weeks how the Lord is going to bless us, amen, and that we are stepping into a new season of enlargement of our territory, and that we're going to see bountiful blessings of the Lord, and to continue to trust the Lord despite what you're seeing and things around you, but to keep moving forward, to keep pushing, amen, just as the turtle did in the commercials. I don't know if you guys remember the Energizer commercials. Some were with the rabbit and then the turtle. But I can tell you one thing about the turtle was consistent in all those type of commercials like that, and the turtle was going slow, but he would continue to move. And even when some of the other animals, they ran out of steam and fell to the wayside, and the Lord tells us that it's going to be a time, it's going to be a season where we're going to see individuals and people that are going to fall off. But he tells us to continue to run the race, continue with the good fight of faith, because it is only what we do right now for the Lord that is going to reap dividends and a harvest. This is the hour that we've really got to buckle down, and we've got to really be mindful of our actions, our deeds, and the things that we are doing, because this is a time, this is a season, and this is a day, and this is an hour that we're about to see things that we have never ever seen before. God is about to do some of his greatest miraculous miracles before we go into the 12th hour, which is the time of his coming. After Jesus comes, we don't want to be here left behind with the unsaved ones and those that are lost. We want to make it in the first rapture. We want to make it when he first comes. So we've got to, in order to, you know, it's like you have to wait for the second bus. I don't want to get on the second bus. I want to get on the first bus, because I've been waiting for the first bus for a long time. You know how you ever been on a bus stop and you waiting for the bus, and you were waiting for a long time for the bus to come? And then you go walk down a little further. Had that ever happened to you, where you walk down further and then the bus come, but you weren't at the bus stop, so the bus passed you by, then you got to wait a whole, I'm not waiting no more time. I don't wait long enough. I put my time in. I'm getting on the first bus when they come. That means I'm getting on the first flight. I'm not getting on the second one. Amen. And I know a lot of folks want to take that chance, but it ain't worth the risk to see the things that's going to happen in that day and hour. My God of heaven, we want to show the Lord that we are worthy, that we are in place, and that we are listening to the things that he has commissioned and told us to do. He's commissioned us to do some things, saints. Come on, children of God. He has told us how to do this thing. He's given us all the tools that we need in his word. Jesus came and gave us his words verbatim and told us what to do and how to do this thing. So this is nothing new to us. And if you can think about the understanding of the terminology. You can read your Bible and understand, even though it was rewritten through the King James, to break it down, but we're still talking about hundreds and hundreds of years ago, a manuscript of information that has been broken down to us that we still can understand to this day. So they can take 2,000-year-old revelation and information and break it down to where we can understand it. And we really, word for word verbatim, know what it's saying. Even though some folks, they say the Bible is hard for them to read because it's old English and it's a lot of it's Hebrew language. You have to understand and ask the Lord for interpretation. I always, before I read my Bible, ask the Lord to give me the understanding, the reading of his word. And ask the Lord to keep you woke, too, because you know how the devil get busy. It seems like as soon as you want to have some quiet time with the Lord and read your Bible, you get so tired and sleepy and fall asleep. And that happens often. That's not to just you. That happens to all of us. Not just me. That happens to all of us, believe me. It ain't nothing but the devil. He just get busy and get on you. You know, you're so tired. You know, you need to get some rest. And you end up falling asleep. You have to wake yourself back up. Hallelujah. I know the Holy Ghost will wake me up. I know that I don't heard the Holy Ghost call my name and say, wake up and read the word. So I know God is real. You know, it's something to know that we are living in a time such as this. I heard many people, and I've read for over hundreds of years, different ministers preach about the end time that we live in, and this is the last day. Even Paul and Peter and them, they thought it was the last day in their time, and that was over 2,000 years ago, and it wasn't. But they thought that they were going to see the rapture of Jesus Christ. And they thought that they were actually living in the last days, but they weren't. But guess who are? We are. We're living in the last days, the for real last days. You know, even when I talked about the kings and King Nebuchadnezzar, how he thought, was wondering, like, what was going to happen. That's why God sent him, that's why the Almighty God sent him that dream to show him the end time, because he was pondering and he was wondering in his heart, like, what's going to happen hereafter, like, after me, like, what's next, like, and where do I fit in? Because he knew he was a great king, but he didn't understand time. He didn't understand seasons. And isn't it great that God has left us such a great blueprint to understand where we are in dispensation. God left us the Bible. He left us all those, John the Revelator, Paul, which wrote most of all the New Testament. Then we can go back to the Torah, which was written through Moses. We have some great Psalms that were written through David as well as his son Solomon. So we got some great content. We got some great information, great revelation, great documents, however you want to put us, the manuscripts. These were all things that were written by the holy men of God, that God allowed them to see his heart. God even talks through the many writings, and I'll get into some of that, and we'll start breaking it down, how he talked to Isaiah, and let them know this is the God of heaven, and that's how he addresses himself a lot of times. When he talks, he says, I am the God of heaven. And he said, the Lord of hosts as well, and meaning the Lord of many. And back in the 1600s, they used the word Lord a lot. And we use, when we hear the word Lord, it's almost like alarm. We automatically think of God or the Son as in Lord. But they used that as someone that was an overseer, someone that was in charge. So it was many lords back in the early 1600s, 1700s with the Georges and all of those that were in charge, the Louis, the 15th, and all of those. So when you start looking over in France and looking over in Britain, the Brits, and how they perceive life is so much different today. We went through so much, and I'm just talking about what we have seen over the years, so many things, year after year, decade after decade, season after season. So it's almost 2000 and almost 20 years since the Lord was upon the earth. For those of you that may not know, but most of us kind of have an idea and know that he died at the age of 33. He had a mission to accomplish, and he had 33 years to do it. And 33 years old, now I look back like that's young, you know, to look back at what he accomplished in 33 years. To be a young man around 27, 28 years old, healing people, healing the sick. We talked about how he was going forth in the earth and he was feeding people and just opening people's eyes, opening people's ears that were deaf. He was the healthcare system, was on his back. I mean, if you look at how great Jesus was, and they talked about him because he went and he sat with the publicans, he sat with the sinners, he sat with those that he knew didn't have their life in order and ministered unto them. And he was outside the box. He wasn't your norm. He wasn't the person that You know, and that's why the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't understand him, because his terminology was so different than anything they ever had seen. Remember in the word where it says, where is this, like, where is, isn't this Mary's son? I can't believe this, because we know nothing about him being learned. Where did he get this knowledge from? What school did he go to? They want to know, like, what education did he go to? Because, you know, they believed in education and they had higher education then. And they, even the Greeks were known to be scholars. They were known to be some of the most educated people of their time. They created the clock. They created the hours. Also going back to the Babylonians also, but to give credit to them for that. But overall, the Grecians, they were on it. They were the scholars and the most knowledgeable people of their day. I mean, and that's why you get a lot of that mythology and stuff. And I have to be careful, you know, even in my readings and things I come across, to make sure that you're not tapping it, that we're not supposed to do that, you all. So we want to make sure that what we are doing is in the will the purpose and the plan of our Father, that he's pleased, amen, with what we are doing. A lot of times we don't realize, we just go about life. You know, you have to, I used to always think my pastor was very strict on us. And I was, you know, young in church, around 19, 20 years old, and I was under this prophetess ministry, Prophetess Clara Strong, and she would always be honest about, you know, what we're watching, what we're listening to, the things that we have in our house. And I was thinking she was being overdone, you know, but the Lord started dealing with me personally myself. I remember I went to the store, and I went to the store called Sloan's back home in Wisconsin, where I'm originally from. And Sloan's back then had a lot of ceramic things you could buy. They had, like, ceramic tigers and ceramic lions. And I still love those things to this day and will purchase them if I see them. But anyway, they had these two snakes. And they was cold, though. They were cobras. And I think, if I can't remember what color, but I think I had two. One was, they back then they were painting them black and gold, or they would be all gold or something. And I had put those two snakes, I had a fireplace mantle, and I put them up there on my mantle. And they was up there. They were sharp, too, sticking up, them two cobras I had on each side. The Lord started working on me. The Holy Ghost started working on me. He said, now, you know, you got to get rid of them. You got to get them snakes out your house. I was like, I did not want to get rid of those snakes. But the Lord and the Holy Ghost started dealing with me and said, no, you have to get them snakes out your house. Because snakes are a representation of Satan. Now, some people can do it because they don't have the discernment. They don't have it's the Holy Ghost. It's also the anointing. It's also about the level of the power of the anointing on your life. And it's all about where you are and, you know, where God ranks you in who you are. And so some people can have a house full of snakes. I can't do it, though. Personally, I can't, being a prophetess, or even at that time, I was a prophet in training and didn't even know it. But God was saying, because of who I am and who I was going to become, I was not allowed to have that just the imagery of that in my presence. So God said, get rid of that. And I'm telling you, God, I was really convicted by the Holy Spirit. And most of the time, I don't know if I had a dream or not, I'm not going to over-exaggerate it, but I know that a few times when things weren't right around me, and this is the gospel, the Lord will bring it to me in a dream and say, now, you need to do this differently because of this that's not right. And that's when I be knowing, like, I pray about a lot of things, and I ask God order, and and God is so great. When you get so high in the spirit with the Lord, he, and especially where you are when it comes to who you are in the earth and what you're going to do, your mandate and mission in life, God will start to, you are asked, I have actually, this is no story. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but this has happened to me several times. I've asked God a question. I could really understand what Nebuchadnezzar went through, because I've asked God a question. I didn't say it out loud, verbally, but I asked it mentally, or I was pondering on something or thinking about something, you know, just wondering about the outcome of something. And the Lord has brought me the answer in a dream. He brought what I was thinking about, he brought it, brought me the revelation of the matter. So I'm telling you, God is great. That's when you start, when that happens to you, That's when you know without a shadow of a doubt that there is a God in heaven. Because how can you get an answer to something that you questioned about that you didn't even ask out loud? But God knows and sees. The Bible says he sees the heart of man. He knows us. He knows everything about us prior to us. Don't you know he said he knew us before we was even born in our mother's womb? He knew us. He knew everything about us. That's how good and great God is. That's why he tries to constantly. He said it's not his will that not one of us will perish. Not one soul will be lost. And that's why he put men and women in the earth to preach the gospel of Christ so that we will be the ones that would minister to others, try to help save our fellow brothers and sisters so that they would not perish. That is the will of God. He wants the best for us. And I'm telling you, when I say he wants the best for us, he wants the absolute best for us. And we have just got to do what it is that the Lord has commissioned and called us to do. And I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy, but it can be done. If you trust God, you know, a lot of people say they trust him, but it's more than that. It's when you're going through some of the hardest times in your life that you genuinely give it to God and give it over to him and wait to see what happens. That's what I'm talking about. So, y'all understand where I'm coming from today. It's not all about sometimes what we think is right, but it's about what the Lord has commissioned us and told us is right. That's where we get to a place in the Lord where we start to really understand. I want y'all to understand what I'm saying. Just hold on, because it's going to be a brighter day. It's going to be a better day. It's going to be a day that we have never seen before. But we've got to trust the Lord. We've got to depend on his word, and we've got to stand on his word despite what we've seen and what we are seeing. And I keep saying that because I'm talking faith, and I'm giving you faith, and I'm giving you the word of God. We need to be transparent, to trust the Lord despite what's going on in our lives. It's not easy. It's not easy. But I'll tell you one thing. What you have to do is know that God is with us. Despite everything that you're going through, he'll never leave you. That's what his words say. He never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Now, you might leave him, but he's not going to leave you. Amen. If you leave him, then that's a different outcome. But he will never fail you. And I know I've left him at periods of time in my life. And the Lord don't want us to leave him. He wants us to stick with him. He said, I'll stick with you closer than a brother. I mean, that's some closeness right there. Amen. You have a good brother. And you want to know what it is. Are you ready to see the goodness of God? Are you ready to see the greatness and the greatness of God and start to see the manifestations of things happening in your life, I'm telling you, God is about to manifest some things if you just trust him. This is the I word of trusting, believing, and expectation. Trust, believe, expectation. Trust, believe, expect. That's the hour we're in. I want y'all to get that down in y'all's spirit. Trust, believe, and expect. Because God, expect the great things of God. Expect things that you've never seen before. I want y'all to get the three things. Trust. The second one is believe. And the third one is expect. Okay? So when we do that, those are a combination of three core strongs that cannot be broken. And that's what I want you to do. To get in the place where you believe the Lord despite what you're seeing around you or what's happening in your life right now. Expect the big. Expect the great. Expect expansion. Expect enlargement. Amen. We're getting ready to go into a new place in our lives. God is shifting. He's shaking up the world. He's shaking up foundations. He's tearing it up. And we've got to get ready. Amen. It is 12 o'clock. We've hit midnight Eastern Standard Time. And I want to tell you, God bless you on this morning. There's something about the wee hours of the morning and the 12 o'clock. When we hit the 12 o'clock hour, we know that that means that there's a shaking, there's a rumbling, there is a release, amen, in the atmosphere, because we know that Paul and Silas prayed in the wee hours of the morning. And when they prayed, the angels came down and shook the bars of the jail and opened up the bars and released the shackles and chains and cords that were on them and released them into freedom and brought them out with great power and victory because it was by the hand of God. And that's where we have to get right now, into a place where we're believing in the shaking, the rumbling, and the moving of God, that in this season in our life, we're going to see the unexpected things of the Lord happen for us. We are believing in the shaking, the rumbling, and we're believing in the transformation and the things in our life. We're expecting miracles. I'm expecting miracles, not tomorrow. I'm telling you, I'm expecting a miracle today. I'm expecting a miracle this month. I'm expecting the unsupernatural things that I never thought I would see to happen this month. I'm believing that God is going to do it by his power. I'm believing God that he's going to take me to enlargement in territories and places that I never seen before, because God is about to do something new in my life. You know why? Because I trust him. Amen. I trust him. I trust him despite what I see. I trust him despite what's going on in my life. And I trust him. Amen. I trust him. I trust him. Trust means a firm belief in the reliability or the ability, strength of someone or something. Do you believe that God has the strength? Now, there is the word belief, and we talked about believe secondly, and we'll go into that, but the reliability or the ability, meaning to be capable of, to do something, the strength of someone or something. So it's the strength, meaning the power of God. Do you believe he has the power to do what it is that you're believing him for. So let's just go to the word belief, because I just believe one thing, that you have to know who you trust in. If you don't know who you trust in, how are you going to trust somebody you don't know who you trust in? That makes sense to you. How are you going to believe in somebody you don't know who you trust in? Believe means to accept something as true, feeling sure of the truth of the matter. Okay? It is to, let's see more. What more synonyms has with this. It says to give credit, to count on, to go for, believing, and it even talks about being God-fearing, believing, devoted. I like this. Faithful, devotion, committed. I know that God can do all these things because I have seen him do it in the past of my life. If you've ever been in a situation where you know it was nothing but the grace of God that brought you out, then I know you can shout hallelujah on this morning, because sometimes it's only by his grace that we make it through and have made it through situations and times in our life. So we're going to talk about trust, okay? We're talking about confidence in someone or something, total confidence, to believe, it's accepting, it's to put confidence, it's to count on. Amen. We're going to count on God. And let's look at this word, expect, because we always can say we trust somebody, we lean on them, but you know, sometimes we say we expect things, but we don't. Expect, anticipate, and await, look forward to, bank on. I like that. It even says, well, look at this here. Help me, Holy Ghost. It even says prophecy. That means, now, come on, this is the Webster Dictionary, and it's talking about prophecy. And it's talking about envision. It says foresee, forecast, predict, presume. Now, I love this. This is anticipate. Let's talk about this word, anticipate. To wait, to be in the process of. And with that, I'm anticipating, I'm expecting, I'm prophesying, I'm foretelling, meaning to tell the future of what is going to happen in my life. I'm looking for the unexpected. I'm looking for the extraordinary to happen for me in my life. And I'm looking for it now. Not later. See, some folks, I've been there. I've been through the wait. But now I want to see the hand of God move my life. The Lord said, whatever we bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. He tells us that we are the head and we're not the tail. He tells us we are of a royal priesthood. And if we believe those things in God, then we should be moving in leaps and bounds, going from glory to glory in the Word of God. All right, let's read the Word today in Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read a little bit about what the Lord says about sower and the reaper, and we're going to read and break down what thus said the Lord, amen, through chapter 13. We're going to start the first verse, and it says, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him. Now, he sat by the sea, it tells us, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So, just to set this up so you can see it visually in your imagination, Jesus went inside a boat on the seashore. The people were standing on the sea. They were standing on the seashore, but he was sitting. He was talking to them in a boat in the sea, on the edge of the sea, inside the water, and they could hear him what he was saying. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had not no depthness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root in them, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold, says the Lord of hosts. Who has ear to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away even that he hath. So I want to just deal with that part right there. Lord is saying a lot of people are going to be given. You're going to be given some of the word. He said, but if you don't even honor, you don't respect, if you don't cherish the thing, what you do have, God said that's going to even be taken away. And I would even beg to say that applies to the things that we have. Folks not appreciative of the things that they have, the little things they have. They're complaining and murmuring about the house. They're complaining and murmuring about the vehicle. They're complaining and murmuring about the job, the career that they're in. They're complaining and murmuring about the husband, the kids, and the family they have. And God said, you're not even appreciative of what I've given you. So guess what? Even the husband you got gonna walk out. Even the house you got, the little one that you, I gave you a home, but you're not appreciative, guess what? That's going to be taken away. Go live in an apartment building. This is the kind of thing that God is fed up with. When he says, I have given you children walking out of homes on parents at an early age now. God is saying, if you don't appreciate what I have given you, you don't like this job, you complaining, you murmuring about it, but it's allowing you to put food on your table, and you're buying clothes, and you're shopping, you're doing this, that, and other, but now you don't appreciate it. Guess what? Now you don't have a job. Now you have to file unemployment. Now you're on a waiting list for unemployment and can't even get through. because the lines is busy and backed up. See, this is what I'm telling you, that God has told the people, I am the one. The Bible tells us that God is the one that has commissioned and has given us the power to give man wealth. That is why King Nebuchadnezzar was brought down to a low place. For 7 years he wandered in the wilderness as a madman with his fingernails as claws of an eagle, because God said that I have given you these blessings. Know that it is I, the Lord, the God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, who has blessed thee. Jesus said, if you don't even appreciate what the little things I've given you, he said, guess what? I'll come and take all of what you got. All right. This is the word. It's not me, y'all. Okay. 13, we're at Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13, and it says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they hearing see not, and those that are seeing see not, those that are hearing hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, hearing by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. I like how the Lord says that the heart understandeth. I know a lot of people say don't follow the heart because the heart can lead you in the wrong direction, but the heart understandeth. I was thinking about the heart earlier today, and what I understood is that your heart knoweth. Don't you know your heart? You might, even if you follow your heart and if your heart leads you in the wrong direction, don't your heart usually know? The heart knows. The heart knows. It's just that you have to follow. You have to follow your mind and make a right decision. But the heart knows. So I like that, what the Lord said about that. 15 goes on to say, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And so he was letting them know that you're blessed to be in the time. I talk about time all the time, right? So you're blessed, God, Jesus, love, you're blessed to be with me, to see me. You're blessed to be in my presence. It's many righteous men, it's many prophets of many days that wish they was here with me, because I am Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He was letting them know. 18 says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catch it away, that which was sowed in his heart. We talked about the heart a minute ago. the heart knows. The word was sowed in his heart. Jesus said the wicked one will come and take it away. And it says, this is he which receives seed by the wayside. So for the person that received the seed by the wayside is the one that hears the word of the kingdom of God. They understand the word, but they allow Satan to take it away from their heart. I'm going to say it again. It's the person, the one by the wayside, Jesus said, is the one you hear the word. Not only do you hear the word, but you understand the word. Because a lot of people don't even understand the word. But he's saying, you not only do you hear the word, you understand it, but you have allowed Satan to come and take it away out your heart. And I can go, we're going to go further back into that, but I'm going to continue reading because I don't want to get too far off. Our time here goes fast. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth the word, yet hath he not root in him, but dureth for a little while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns. But I'm going to stop right there because I'm going too far. So the Lord says, for the one that finds the word in the stony places, he said, this is the man that received the word with joy, but he don't got no root in him. You know, it's the person that hears the word, they're elated, they in church, they shouting, they speaking in tongues, they the ones that seem like they on fire for God. But the Lord says they don't got no root in them. Because when the tribulations come, when bills come, health issues come, career problems come, things like this, what we're going through in the world come, guess what? They give up on God. They can't, all they do is focus on the problems. All they do is thinking about what troubles they're dealing with. And then they let go of the joy that they once had with God. The joy that the Lord had brought in their life. They don't reflect on the things, the power and the word of God to stay rooted in the Lord. To let those things, those offenses pass them by. They continue to be offended. And you ever know somebody always offended about everything? This is what the Lord did. The Lord says by and by he is offended, meaning continuously he's offended by these things. Instead of letting these things go, he's continuously offended by the things that are happening in his life. And that's what the Lord teaches us to do. He teaches us to be strong. He said, the servant is no greater than the master. He said, if they talked about me and if they did me wrong, they're going to do you the same way. So you can't get offended by these things. You got to let it go. You got to keep moving and keep pushing and keep living your life and be strong in the word of the Lord. He letting us know we're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to be persecuted by man. We're going to be persecuted by the world. We're going to be persecuted by even in the spiritual realm. But we've got to maintain our strength. We got to maintain our power. We can't be like the one that fall on the stony ground and don't have no root in us. We've got to be rooted in the things of God. And that is this individual that the Lord is talking about, the one that fall on the stony ground, but they don't have enough depthness in them to keep them in the word of God. But they're delightful and they're joyful and they're happy when they hear the word. But when things come along in their life, they fall by the wayside. They fall to the things of the world. This is what the Lord is saying. And he also, let's continue, 22 reads, 13, Matthew 13, 22 reads, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. Now, make sure it says, but he that receiveth seed, okay, that's all. Okay, so let me just deal with that. This is the one that received the seeds among the thorns. He's saying the thorns are the riches of the world. They are the things. The Lord calls them, he said, the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. Let's talk about that. Deceitfulness of riches. What does that mean? The deceitfulness of riches. I'm going to explain something to y'all. I know I've had a lot of prayer, lot of conversation with the Lord about being wealthy. The Lord has no problem, and I'm willing to say this and believe God for it. He has no problem with anyone being wealthy. He doesn't have a problem with you being rich. What he does have a problem with is mismanagement of funds and not doing the things that you're supposed to do for the kingdom of God and paying your tithes. That's when you fall into a problem. Deceitful things. People become deceitful when they become rich. People become deceitful when they become wealthy because they start to do manipulative things to other people. Some folks don't even care about you as a human being. They begin to be dogmatic. They begin to be greedy. They begin to be overbearing because that is what's in them. And then this is choking, as the word says, like thorns, choking the word and the life that was in them. You've got some good, wholesome people that know the word, that are wealthy, that are rich. They know God. You hear them talk about God all the time. But they're so caught up in the lifestyle. They're so caught up in the things that are happening in their world that they really don't care about nobody else. So these deceitful actions and these deceitful behaviors are now affecting how they treat others and even what how they maintain the word even within themselves. This is what the Lord is saying. And then he says, the word is choked out of them and they become unfruitful. You know, some people think that's why the Bible tells us that we can't enter the kingdom by works. We got to enter the kingdom through the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're not going to get there by works, y'all. It's a lot of good people doing a lot of good works, but works ain't what's going to happen. It is your lifestyle, living a holy, sanctified, a clean life before God. That's what's going to get you in the kingdom of heaven, not your deeds towards other people. It's a lot of wicked evil, nasty people doing good deeds for people, but they not even doing it in the right spirit. They doing it because they want the accolades. They doing it because they want the branding. They want the popularity. They want to be seen by people. They want folks to know, oh, I got a good heart. Let me show you what I can do. Jesus said, what you do in secret, I reward you openly. That's the word of God. I talk about it all the time because we got so many people that want to do things to put their works on display because, hey, guess what? I'm over here. I'm waving. Do you see me? Hi. Look what I did for these people. Oh, they're a little less than me, but guess what? I did it for them because I got it like that. Ooh, I'm such a nice person. Really? Are you really a nice person? Are you really a genuine person? Are you doing this? No, you're doing this because you want your name and lights at the end of the day to seem like you're this wholesome, a good person, and the media has to know what have you done where every, and it seems like it's always certain folks, and I ain't gonna call nobody a name out, but I just wonder why it's always certain people I turn around every time they do something for somebody, their name is in lights and everybody know what they did. You don't. Everybody don't gotta know what you do. It's so many things, and I will not even mention that I have done for folks that nobody have no idea what I've done, because I've just done it with a good heart, a good clean conscience, and let it go. I don't even be thinking back on what I did for people. I just do it and let it go. And when you do things like that, you know you got to be blessed. I'm serious. You know God's got to bless you because God don't forget. He don't forget. He know what we do. He know our heart. He know when we're righteous. He know when we do it in a good spirit. He know when we do it in good conscience. He knows. Let's get through this, y'all. Matthew 13:23 says this, but he that receives seed into the ground, into good ground, is he that heareth the word, understandeth, which also beareth fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now let me stop there. The Lord said, when you hear the word, but you bring fruit forth. Now he did say, there is going to be a difference in the amount of fruit that we are able to bear or bring forth, I should say. So some, he said, going to do 100-fold. Some people going to do 100. They're going to go all out. He said some going to do 60%. Some going to do 30%. You know, even smaller amounts, because they're doing what they can do within their capacity. But they're yet bringing some fruit forth through their lives. And you have to think about that in your life. Are you helping bringing fruit forth at some capacity? What are you doing, and if how? If so, how? That's a good question to you on this morning. So God obviously is saying that everybody, he is God, because he said, when you see the Father, you see him. He's God. Remember, he talked about there is gods. Okay, but he's talking about the gods of heaven. Let's not get it twisted. But what he's saying is that we should all be productive in some capacity. Remember when they talked about the talents, how when the master came back, and he asked the servant, like, where's the money that he had gave him? And he said, I knew you was a hard taskmaster, and I would not hear the talent. And he said, you evil servant, he said, I gave you that so you could make it and multiply it, and I will have a surplus. But you went in and I don't have nothing but what I gave you. And he was rejected for that. So the Lord is telling us that we should be productive with what we have. And this goes back to the scripture that I read earlier when the Lord says, what you have, if you haven't done nothing with it, I'm going to take what you have. That's even like your gift. God give you a gift, you don't use it. I don't sing some people. I'm going to use an example. To be able to sing is a gift. That's a true gift from God. There's so many people that cannot sing, but it's some people that, I mean, they sing heavenly sing. And God gives you a voice like that, and he's giving you, that is a God-given gift. We all have gifts and talents and abilities to do certain things that God has given us. What have you, God is saying, what have you done with your gift? If you don't use your gift, guess what? I'll take it from you. That's taking back what you already have. That's what he's saying. I've given it to you, but if you don't use it, I'm gonna take that back from you because you ain't using it. You don't appreciate it. So this is what the Lord says. I'm going to stop there with that parable because this one goes into another parable. And I really wanted, this parable was on my heart for the last couple of weeks. I really wanted to preach this parable, and I'm glad that I was able to get around to doing that. And time permits for me to really work it and preach it the way that I want to break it down. I'm going to just go back through a few things over what we discussed. The Lord is telling us there's several types of people in the earth. He's telling us, he said, it's going to be those that hear the word, and that's going to be fall on stony ground. Remember, he said those going to be, that's going to hear the word going to be choked out of them. There's going to be the ones that rejoice and hear the word, and the word's going to be taken out of them. I'm just going to go back over just to recap. So the ones that fall by the wayside, those are the ones that hear the word and understand it, but the devil takes the word because of the deceitfulness of the wickedness of Satan. He takes the word out of them, and they allow the devil to take the word out of them. These are the ones that are by the wayside. Okay? Those that fall in stony places, these are the ones that hear the word and are joyful, but because trials and tribulations and being persecuted, they are offended. And by, remember the word says, and by, these are the ones that fell on stony ground, stony places. Okay? So I just want to recap what I'm reading so you understand. And the one that received the word among the thorns was the one that, these are the wealthy and the rich folks, and these are the ones that hear the word, but the deceitfulness of riches, what it do? It chokes the life out of them, takes the fruitfulness and what they received out of them. These are the ones that's among the thorns. Okay, so you have to have, you have your word so you can kind of recap what I'm saying. Okay, because this is four different types of people. And then the fourth individual is the ones that fell among good ground. And we obviously know that they are the ones successful and receiving the word and are doing the things that God's commissioned them to do. And some are bringing forth bountiful blessings and helping others receive the word of God. And some people are bringing forth fruit, meaning to help bring people in the kingdom of God. Some are doing it by 100, that's pushing 100. Some are doing it 60, and some are doing it 30, the Lord said. Some are even doing it smaller percentages than that, but they are yet pushing forward to bring people into the kingdom of God. We don't want to be none of the other three individuals. I don't want to be the person that's wealthy and that hear the word of God, but the word is choked up out of me because of deceitfulness and deceitfulness of my heart for riches and the lust of money, and it's, the word is choked out of me and I be unfruitful. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person that because of trials and tribulations, I don't have no root in me and I'm not established. And I'm always offended by everything somebody's saying, things that's happening to me, and I can't hold on and get rooted in the things of God because I'm so busy focusing on all the trials and tribulations I'm going through. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person that falls by the wayside. I don't want to be the person, I know the word, I'm happy for the word, I'm joyful, I understand the word, but I can't stay rooted because the devil has taken the word out of my heart because of things of life. And we all know that that can happen to you easily. Just keep living. Amen. Amen. I hope y'all enjoyed the word on this morning. That you want to go back and read that. It's Matthew chapter 13. Now, I know I'm a firm believer on having the word in front of you because the Bible actually, believe me, it's just a difference. I can't really explain it, but it's nothing like the tangible word of God, to hold the word, to look at the scriptures. You're looking at the words in red, and you just see, you can digest it better, believe me. I know what I'm talking about, but, you know, if you need to, you can look this up on your phones. I know we got so much technology today, your iPads or your computer. You know, but at least you're looking at the word, you're seeing it, and you're understanding it, and you're allowing it to be reinvested back into your life. So if you don't have an actual handheld Bible, until you get one, go back over Matthew chapter 13. I didn't read the entire chapter. We only went down to verse 23, so we did verse 1 through 23 because the other verse is quite long, and maybe we'll continue next week, but it goes into some of the other parables, and I didn't want to continue that, and we can go definitely into that next week, but this is where we stopped at verse 23 here this evening. And I'm going to just put that down so I can know where we're at. And we stopped at verse 23, and we can probably pick up on 24 next week. But remember, we talked about the three main things we're going to focus on our lives right now. And that's trust, believe, and expect. And we can use expectation for that three key word there. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe God. And we're going to expect. Amen. And I talked about the enlargement of the territory. Amen. To be able to see the enlargement. That's one thing I loved about the children of Israel, as they went into the promised land, and they felt like it was giants, and they felt like grasshoppers under the people. And Joshua said, we're still going in, and we still believe in God. We're trusting God. Yeah, we might be looking like grasshoppers, but guess what? We know our God is a big God. God loved Joshua. God loved Joshua so that he stopped the sun for 24 hours. It has never been done. It will never, when I talk about things we've never seen and things that have never been done, that had never been done. That was the first time God ever stopped the sun from not going down. The sun stayed up for 24 hours for Joshua, and God helped fight for them. And when they looked up, they saw angels on the hills throwing down stones on their enemies. I'm telling you one thing about God. He will fight for his people. If God loves you and you have found favor in his sight, he will fight for you. I don't care what the devil doing. I don't care what he say, what his cohorts and enemies is doing in your life. God will fight for you. He'll fight for you just like he did the children of Israel when he took the wheels off of the Egyptian army, and they spent off, and they said, God is fighting for them. They knew that God was fighting for them, and they had no chance. But because they wanted to be loyal to the Pharaoh at hand, they continued to go on, even though they were at death's door and at a dead end. They knew that it was over. Remember we talked about the heart knows. The heart, they heart knew. They knew it was over because they had seen so many of the miracles and the wonders in the hand of God through Moses and Aaron that they knew that it was a wrap. But they just continued to fight a dead-end fight. It's the heart knows. Amen. The heart knows. The heart knows. And I just want you to know that despite everything that you're seeing, I can't say it enough, trust the Lord in this season. In this hour, don't believe anything that what outside noises and what's going on. We've got to get in. See, that's the thing about the people of God. We've got to get to where we hear what the Lord is saying. What is the Lord saying for this hour? Okay, you might be in the house, but what is the Lord saying? Do you even know what he's saying? What does this mean? How is this impacting us as the children of God, as the saints of God, as the church? Do we understand the hour that we're in right now? Or are we just going along with what the world is saying and all the scare tactics and all of the hoopla that the world is talking about, and we getting caught up in the noise of the world? But do you know what God is saying? Or you just got an idea? No, I don't want an idea. I want to know what the Lord is saying. I want to be obedient to his word. I want to follow his leading and his direction. I want to have a clear perspective on what the Lord is telling me and commissioning me to do. Because this is a season that I need to see the things of God that I've never seen them before. Revelation, insight, depthness. That's what we need to be, y'all. That's what we need to know. We need to know where we're going. We need to know where we're headed. We don't want to be like the children of Israel going around. They say, I have to go back and see exactly how long, but it was only so many days' journey to finish that journey that they took 40 years in the desert to do. They could have been there in days. But because they kept going around the same mountain in their heart, they couldn't even get to their destination. Even when there was thousands of them that bucked up against Moses, and it was a fight in the desert, fight to the death, he won and had to kill off so many of his own brothers and sisters because they bucked up against him and wanted to overthrow him. But God knew who he was and had set him in place to be their overseer and their leader. But they wanted to go up and buck up against the grain of God. Yes, that happened. Think about when they made the calf of gold. God gave all that gold came. Do you think that gold came? That gold came straight out of Egypt. Because I'm telling you, in the time that they lived in, gold was so prevalent, it was just like you going a walk and you would see stones or you would see grass. It was just like it was not just within the earth, it was on the earth. And they had so much of it that they knew they were smart. They were smart enough to melt it down. They made it into what they wanted to make. That's why the kings and the pharaohs have chairs that are made out of pure gold to this day that are in the museums that we can see. The staffs that they had were made out of pure gold. Pure gold. To this day, you can go and see those things from the mummies that are at the Egyptian museums. So God allowed resources. You know, we know that Africa, that is north of Africa, Egypt is, and the lower part and the western part, the southern part was full of diamonds, which we still find in diamonds to this day in South Africa. But their resources were overabundant. And Africa was a very wealthy place. Oh, my God, thousands of years ago, you could go there and find almost anything as far as minerals in the earth. God is merciful. I just want to let y'all know he's good. He knows what we need, and he knows how to bless us, his people. Thinking about Cleopatra, well, she made her way to see Julius Caesar. She had them roll her up, her servants, in carpet. She's rolled up in a carpet. It's very hot. But she made it over the sea, and she took a boat, and she was delivered to Julius Caesar. She rolled out a carpet and rode out unto him in his chamber. She was over the city of Alexandria. Most people think that she was in Thebes in Egypt, but she was not. She was over the city of Alexandria. Her and her brother both started off being both partakers of the kingdom. And she would go down into Thebes to admire the various festivals and things that they would have. And she wanted to be acclimated to the culture of the Egyptian culture and learn their ways. She was not originally Egyptian. She was half Grecian, and also was said that she was half Nubian, being black, and so she was of a mixed culture, it is said, of her and her siblings. A woman that was very strong and fierce and overthrew her brother and yet went and took over the kingdom herself and ruled with Julius Caesar, being one of the strongest emperors in the history of Rome. As they both conquered and then as Julius Caesar was stabbed 23 times by the Senate, then she was left with Michael, and they were overthrown by Claudius Caesar because they were not going to be left with Julius' son to reign by Cleopatra. So they were demolished in Alexandria. In all of the history books and all of the sacred documents and scripts and scribes were destroyed, and they have near the sea and the shores of Alexandria has fell, the ruins of her kingdom are under the sea. They are yet pulling up stones and scriptures and scribes and statues that were high up in the city. They had got destroyed, most likely by the Roman army at the time of the besiegement. So I said that to say this. It's funny how when God says, I will raise up kings and I will pull them down, it's actually the truth, you know. It's in his timing, you know, that his day. This is like 70-something years prior to Jesus being born in the earth that these individuals lived. And they are the wonders of the people of the world that people talk about, you know, the Julius Caesars, the Mark Antonys, and the Cleopatras. They are the ones. And her, Mark Antony and Cleopatra, they thought they were going to rule the world. They thought they were going to overthrow Rome. But Rome was a beast. Rome was iron teeth, strong and mighty. And it took the barbarians to pull them down because they were very, very strong. And not even all the way dead. That beast is not dead. Has some life in them. Now, head ain't cut off. So, still got some life in them. So, understanding what these individuals meant. I said Michael, it's Mark. I apologize, Anthony. I know that. Cleopatra's lover, second lover, after Julius Caesar, who she had a son by. She set herself up high. She went in the streets of Rome to declare that she had a son by Julius Caesar and that they were going to rule the world together, even though he had a wife. Well, the Romans were not with that, and they had to do something quick to get this woman out the way because they were not about to let this woman of mixed blood and her child of mixed blood reign Rome. There was no way they could allow that to happen. So she was very beautiful as well as articulate. She also had a lot of influence to pull two great men that were in such a a grand and great kingdom. You knew that it was something special about this woman that she could do this. But at the end of the day, she took her own life, said to be with a serpent and poisonous snake. And she had armor with her, and they watched her die. And her lover, Mark Anthony, proceeded, and they were overthrown in Alexandria, across the shores of Greece. And as I wrap up this evening, I hope and pray that you are learning and understanding history, time, seasons, prophecy, understanding that where we are at and where we have been and where we're going, amen, dispensation of time. I just want to tell you I am so happy, I'm so thankful that you have decided to be with me here on this morning. And I'm getting ready to wrap up. And I'm here every Saturday at 11:30, seems to be, until I can get my midnight hours taken care of. But I'll be here early because I don't want to be late. I'd rather be early than I'd rather be late, I promise you. So I hope that you can go back if you need to go back over the studies or anything that we've discussed. It is here, formatted here. You can come back and listen to the broadcast at any time. Amen. And I'm happy to you. This is your number one prophetess, called to the nations for this generation, Prophetess Poinciana Sprewell. I love you. You be blessed and have a wonderful and a grand night.